do it on the computer, like I showed you.
Recording in progress.
Turn on the light, set that stuff, set the microphones, and then put all the Zoom stuff together. And then do this. I don't know how, from an organizational standpoint, what's making more sense for some people. Some people, it's do everything in one room and then move to the next room. Some people, it's do one process, like do the Zoom first, like start that, go back to the check this, and then do the microphone. Yeah.
Before they come and what are you doing?
That's what I was
trying to make it safe for you. Your shoes get wet, you're gonna have a miserable day.
Yeah.
It's just a thought.
Yes.
Well, I mean, as long as it works for everybody, that's fine. I don't know if there'd be an easier way.
I don't know.
Meeting where we just have the people that are going to be doing the meetings and have like a little seminar of what's the best way to do it and discuss it as a group. Well, I mean, because the problem is that you and her may understand the verbiage, but what happens if somebody else has to do it? One last question. Do you need me any longer?
No, I think we're good.
The biggest thing is when you send the chat, when you send the VTT file, if you can just do a reminder that we need to add that shortcut to your YouTube channel.
I'm not going to send you that.
No. Okay.
So at that point,
just send us a blur, because the problem is if I'm going to do it, I'm going to remember. If you send it and I take the ticket, I'm going to remember. If Chris takes it, he may not. I wrote up instructions on how to create that shortcut for that site. Which if you wanted, I can send it to you. Or,
what?
No.
Keith.
I don't think you guys would. No. I mean, if you guys ever got a situation where you said, hey, like if you're a dinner.
No, well, I have to close this.
Okay. Well, then I'm going to go talk to Kim. Since she's doing the other stuff, because you had to bump up.
Well, I'm trying to send it.
She's not going to remember.
That's right.
Is you know how recently we set up the thing where we now have in the meeting section, now you have a file that has a URL to your web.
Sure.
Thing?
Sure.
That sure as in sure I'm just hearing you because I don't want to.
I mean, I believe you. I don't know.
I think so.
Okay.
I believe you.
Okay. Well, if you
but
go
I haven't
to the,
checked it.
Okay. Okay.
But yes, I believe
okay.
that.
We figure out a way that if, say, you let's say that she had a website she wanted to
yes,
add to the meeting section. You know how we do the chat, we do the agenda and stuff like that?
Yes.
We have a way to create a shortcut file.
Okay.
And if we name it correctly, we can put it into that meeting folder. So you could have a, like, let's say that you had an addendum or something, an information about a website for an organization, and you wanted to link to that website instead of having to have a document. We could create a link in the put that out to you. So if you ever think, hey, it'd be really nice if we could add a link to this website to our meeting information.
Oh, okay.
You could say, Will, you said you can do that. How do
okay.
we do that again?
Okay. Now I'm following. I got you.
Okay. Well, if you think the average amount of time it takes. calendar after that.
Oh, you did?
If you see the name on it, don't happen to be in my office. What I'm saying is, I give you my phone number and you call me when the meeting's
done. Yeah, stay, because I'll write it on the board. I will have this one.
And that way you can just call me instead of emailing me.
Okay.
I'll be waiting for the call around half an hour so that we're done.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Will.
This is all your oversight.
I'll just follow the instructions.
And if you can think of any suggestions besides that, we need to.
Thank you.
We need to make instructions for everybody, not just for Lynn.
Car in front of me pulled out, the car came in. I was like, oh my God. Thank God that wasn't me. I couldn't get out of there quick enough. I'm like, let me get away from this school. It was, both of them were parents. It wasn't even student drivers. Yeah.
My entire route is past schools, so really slow and crowded. I don't care what time I get there, so I'm not telling
you. You have to open all the
doors.
It's interesting. There's no one accessible door. You get in and then your face speaks to them.
Hi, everybody. We have started the recording, but we're waiting. We have a quorum of the board here, but we're waiting for the board chair. So it'll be a couple more minutes. I just didn't want to keep the folks on the Zoom in suspense.
I
Kim's on. She's on there, so we can vote her in.
Still going.
Well, I mean, I. Million.
Okay, we're going to start the meeting. Dr. Fowler is going to chair until Dr. Robin arrives.
Hey. I'm going to call to order and thank everyone who has braved this cold and wintry weather to be here, and those who needed to join on Zoom, joining on Zoom. It's wonderful to have both ways to participate these days. Roll call, please.
Susan Fowler.
Here.
Neil Sharma.
Here.
Kim Fisher.
Dr. Fisher is remote, so we will vote her in after the meeting starts.
Diane Husby-Gordon. Ann Robin.
You can see Diane is here.
Would you make a motion to allow her to participate virtually due to one
for
of
Kim?
The...
Yeah, yes.
For Kim?
Yes. I'd like to make a motion to allow Kim... Fisher to participate distantly based on inability to get here today.
Work
inability, work interference to arrive here today. Any second? Okay.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Kim, you're with us. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Yeah. Let's move on to approval of the agenda. Any questions or concerns about the agenda? Motion to approve. Hearing none.
Go ahead. Yeah, we can approve.
Okay. Move. Second.
Second.
Okay. Aye. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
Aye.
There's a schedule. Yes. I was pleased to see the draft schedule, which is primarily in the Shields Carter room. It's on page 3. There are three tentative dates and one off-cycle date, which are always placed on the agenda in the case that we need extra time to review the proposals come April. And in the event that we have other issues that come up or have potentially joint study sessions that need to be added.
We could make the February 25th meeting a regular meeting and not tentative. We had a technical issue, which Kim Bowdrey worked out this morning, so we can do the meeting, thanks to Kim.
Okay. So all those in favor of approving the agenda with the revision that February 25th is no longer tentative, but on the schedule. I guess I need a motion.
I'll make a motion. This is
Thank
Kim.
Thank you, Kim. We need a second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, great. So moving from the schedule, as you know, we always have the acronyms and glossary so that if words confuse you, it's good to just do a quick look or ask. First day I worked at the U.S. Department of Education, I came up with 80 acronyms, and I was lost. Citizen input, public participation. Do we have any citizen input, public participation at this time? Okay, seeing none, let's move on. Chairperson comments. I'm not even going to begin to try and take on Ann's comments. As an interim for the moment, I just want to say how thrilled I was to get this packet in the mail and to see all of the data pie charts that were enclosed. Thank you, staff. That was just awesome. I know so much more now. Executive Director's comments. Lynn.
I know that there are folks who have obligations today, so I don't want to go on and on and on. I certainly will during the meeting. But I do want to say we have been receiving audits and financial reviews. They were due at the end of December 30th, technically, mm-hmm. but we still accept them on the 31st. And what we're looking at actually looks really good. Some of it is really good, and I can't remember a year like this. We just,
wow.
It's been difficult for agencies even to accomplish that for lots of reasons. Mm-hmm. Shortage of CPA firms, confusion about deadlines on the CPA firm's part. So we have them. We've been taking some time to read and discuss. We have an independent CPA who, you know, consults on them. He's gone through them. So it's been a really productive year, and I actually have had time to learn a lot more about the agencies because there's stuff
Great.
In the audits that's like kind of about how they manage. So that's sort of bookends that mm-hmm. memo at the end about where funding comes from. I'm learning that it's very complicated, and every agency is unique, and I'm appreciating people's patience with my questions too. So that's been nice. DSC submitted way before the deadline. We spent a lot of time talking about different things. It was super interesting. I now understand where the management fees come from, which at application time I'm always asking that, but I'm ready now. So anyway, just to thank everyone for the excellent work and for what looks like a really good year.
Fabulous. Then moving on to approval of the CCDDB board minutes from November 19th. Actions required. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Okay.
Second.
Any discussion over the minutes? All right. All those in favor of approving the November 19th meetings, say aye.
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 Great. Unanimous.
Who moved and who seconded?
Oh, sorry. Neil
sorry.
Moved
okay.
and Diane
okay.
Seconded.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Moving on then, we have vendor invoice lists, and I have a question there. We have pages 9 to 12, but I also had an email
yeah.
where I received vendor invoice lists, and the email was for November.
Yes.
And
it's...
Is it the same?
So there's an addendum in the packet, and it's the same stuff, but with a little bit more information. So we're in a moment where what we put in front of the public has to be ADA compliant, and what we receive through the many different online platforms that we use is far from compliant. But we didn't know exactly how far from compliant until we're trying to put it together. And so we you know, Chris understands a lot more about the information that he can draw down from the online system, and then we can format it to be prettier if you want to, but this is our starting point. We missed something, so the addendum, which is posted online, and then there should be a paper copy of it at your table. Kim, thank you for going and getting these for folks. This is what we would ask you to approve, is the complete vendor invoice list. And then, if you have ideas if you want it to be presented differently, this is something, you know, Chris and I can work on in the coming months. But it's just the important thing today is compliance with the ADA, but readability is part of that. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's a long story.
I studied what was sent via email instead of going through the packet. I don't know if the rest of you did. Do you want to take a minute to look at what's on your table? Any questions for Lynn or Chris?
This is Kim, Susan. I was just saying, this is Kim. I have a comment. Just okay. Comment.
All right. Let's move to comments and then we'll approve.
Do we have to have a
not.
Motion first?
Well, sure. Let's. Do we have approval do we have a motion to approve the minutes?
Yeah, a motion to approve.
Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Now comments. Go ahead, Kim.
I just want to commend, I spoke with Lynn on the phone earlier this week. I just want to commend the entire DD and Mental Health Board staff for really being leaders in the county to make all of their information accessible, digitally accessible, following WCAG guidelines. And it's just very impressive, and I'm very, very grateful. That's, I think, all I have to say. Oh, well, no, the other thing was, I think it's really because this system, the invoicing system, just produces reports that are totally inaccessible to someone who might use a screen reader. I would encourage the community I don't know how the board staff would feel, but like through the procurement process of purchasing these very expensive software programs that spit out all kinds of reports, particularly financial reports, pushing those companies before we purchase the next, you know, round of years of their software, purchasing their software to use, we should probably be demanding they follow ADA compliance so that, you know, our staff doesn't have to spend hours and hours doing work that they should have done in the beginning.
I wholeheartedly support that, Kim, and I just remember back 10, 15 years ago when I was on the Mental Health Board, the invoices were so incredibly difficult to read, and we spent so much time arguing about what was paid and what wasn't. This is so straightforward and simple that there's no concern. Yes, please.
Hey, Kim, this is Chris Wilson. The company that manufactures the ERP system that I use to make these reports is called Tyler Technologies, and they are having a conference in Bloomington in the next couple months. And one of the sessions that they're going to be hosting is a roundtable, and I plan on asking if they have plans to make their reports ADA compliant at that roundtable.
Great.
Chris, awesome. Another example of how county staff is just tremendous. So thank you, Chris. If you need any testimony from us as board members, written testimony, be happy to write something up.
Couldn't hurt.
Mm-hmm. Okay, moving on to staff reports. Go ahead. Call for the vote for approval of the envoys.
Motion to...
It was already approved, so all those in favor, aye?
Aye.
Okay. Thank you, Lynn. Staff reports. You know, as usual, I'm overwhelmed by what the staff does and so impressed. This is an opportunity, besides our thanking the staff, to allow questions from board members. Are there any questions on the staff reports?
This is Kim.
Go ahead, Kim.
Thank you.
Or comments.
Yeah, just comments. Just again, to reiterate, thank you, everybody, for your reports. Excellent information. I know we have an agenda item later about the Disability Expo, but I read in Kim's report that the leaders of the steering committee have stepped down for the Disability Expo, so just thank them for their service. And just, again, this very informative reports from the staff, so thank you very much.
Any other comments or questions? Okay, seeing none, I think we'll move on to new business, which begins on page 25. I would like to hold the special election because our acting chair isn't here. We can have it if possible at the end of the meeting. I don't, you know, I think we can have it whether she's here or not, but I'd like to give her the opportunity to be present.
Is it okay to, hey, Stephanie?
Yeah.
Can we change the agenda in that way?
Yeah, you can.
All right. Okay. Thank you. We won't forget.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Moving on then to agency special request, page 29 to 32. There was no reason to discuss the bylaws, was there?
No.
Okay. That was information. So we have a special request from PACE with a letter explaining that the request is to seek payment for the, I believe, January, February, March, which was withheld because the they did not have their audit ready for the end of the year. The reason is stated in the letter. The executive director was ill and unable to keep up with the workload. The executive director also said that the report would be ready at the latest by February 28th. So this is an opportunity for the board to, I guess we should make the motion and second it and then discuss the extent to which we can be flexible. Two requests that indicate a clear deadline for completing it and that have a reason or rationale for not making the deadline. Do I have a motion to either approve or disapprove the PACE request from a board member?
This is Kim. I'll motion to waive the suspension of payments on PACE's, PACE Incorporated's program year 2026 contract due to late audit and to authorize CCDDB staff to release January, February, and March payments as scheduled.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. So Kim and Neil have moved and seconded. Discussion. By members of the board. Any discussion?
No, I think it's important to be flexible. Like, it sounds like it was a reasonable excuse, and so we shouldn't penalize. You know?
Okay. Then let's move to the vote. All those in favor?
I think we're going to need a roll call.
Roll call. That's right, because it's money. Please move to a roll call vote. Susan, your microphone is off. Oh, I'm sorry.
Please move to a roll call vote. Apologies.
Neil Sharma.
Aye.
Kim Fisher.
Yes.
Diane Husby-Gordon.
Yes.
Susan Fowler.
Yes. Okay, great. Moving on to expo activities for 2026, which is the decision memo beginning on page 33. Hopefully everyone has had a chance to read what has happened with the expo. I don't think I need to describe the memo if you've read it. We know that there are several factors that are impacting the expo. The revenue cost, the unexpected resignation, the amount of time demanded to put together the expo, and the recommendation to distribute, continue to distribute the resource book, updating it, and to have a study year. So the decision motion, if we're ready to make that motion, we can then have discussion. Motion to move into second. Who would like to make the motion?
Yeah, motion to move.
Okay, Neil's making the motion. Do we need to read it?
If you don't mind.
Neil, do you mind?
Motion to direct CCDDB, CCMHB staff to form an advisory committee to plan and carry out Disability Resource Expo activities, which may include an in-person event, and to authorize the executive director to pay for related services and products using approved budgeted funds.
Okay, a second?
I'll second. This is Kim.
Kim is seconded, or Diane? Okay. All right. Discussion. Please.
Okay. It was very hard for me to figure out exactly what to ask the board, because this happened kind of, it was a little bit unexpected, but I think looking back, we understood that this could happen. The people, the coordinators who were doing the lion's share of the work are not able to continue. There are certain members of this big steering committee who are very active and had some ideas and wanted to start, you know, a smaller committee and maybe take a year off from the in-person. I'm not closed to that because we've budgeted for all this stuff. We certainly don't have to spend all the money that's budgeted. There's no reason to do that. It might be very difficult to collect a lot of sponsorship revenues during a year like this. So it might be nice just to bring it all down a little bit. That subset of steering committee members had a lot of really good ideas. And so I guess what I'm, you know, I just kind of wanted the boards who have not been able to say for something like 20 years, if they even wanted to have an expo, to have an opportunity to give us some guidance. And this is just sort of a motion inviting that. And there is a meeting scheduled for today. The Mental Health Board was okay with this. So if you all are okay with this, that group can start to meet and talk. And they have talked about things like surveying providers who tend to be at the expo to understand what they like and don't like, and, you know, where we're at in this moment in the community, and also to maybe ask community members what they think is important. So I was surprised at the productive tone of that conversation, but I don't know what we can do without those people who work on it every day and who are super organized. And they did have a plan to provide a year-end report to us, but they're not being paid anymore, so they didn't do it. And I think under the circumstances, I'm okay with that, but we could ask them if there's information that, you know, that y'all want. Anyway, so that's, sorry I'm talking too much, but just to kind of apologize, we're like, this might be the year of surprises anyway, so I need to get used to not having a lot of confidence in what I'm asking you.
I'd like to note that there are, you know, maybe two reasons to postpone. Number one, we really don't know what the funding picture is going to look like and how many of the resources that are presented at the disability fair will continue to be available at the level that they've been available. And number two, I did hear a lot of burnout comments about the amount of work, physical work, that volunteers had to do. There were not complaints. They were just, I don't know how much longer I can do this. My body's getting older. So I think, to me, it makes sense to have a planning year. Other comments from the board?
That is interesting. I didn't, you know, at first I was like, okay, well, I mean, we should have the expo. But, yeah, sometimes it's important to just take a moment, a pause, and regroup and re-strategize if that makes it stronger going forward. I have to say, the expo and the resources have been, I mean, it's fantastic. And as a provider, I mean, It's surprising how many people don't know about puns, how many parents don't know about puns. And so I, whether they're there for, to see me about that or whatever, I make sure to advocate. And, you know, people don't. Yeah. So this is like, I was like wondering, I'm like, I wish there was a unified resource where people can like look up stuff. And I get it. That's going to be another whole logistic thing. But the expo is essentially that. And I was like, wow, this is really it's really a wonderful thing. So we should keep the site up.
Yes. Any other comments?
I would just say that I like the idea of a survey of people who have been doing it. I would also encourage that group to reach out to groups that have stopped showing up and what drove their decisions to do that.
Dr. Fisher.
Okay, she's smiling and nodding on the screen.
Hi, everyone. It's Kim. I just want to clarify that this motion that we made is not to, for sure, cancel the event.
No.
Right? It's just to give flexibility to the staff, to Lynn and Chris, whomever writes the checks or signs the checks, to do something different if the Disability Expo Committee decides to do something different. Is my understanding accurate?
It's very clear because the motion says, which may include an in-person event. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't disallow anything.
Okay, great. Yeah, I mean, the Disability Expo is a great resource. But I look forward to hearing more from what the committee recommends. I think Paula has a question in the chat. She said about this meeting, the Disability Expo meeting. It says today, what time? So, Lynn, could you share that information?
It's at 2 p.m. Paula, I'll send you the email again.
Oh. Okay. I found out about services by going to the Disability Expo 15 years ago. At that point, the school district was giving no advice for transitioning high schoolers. So, yes. So let's take a voice. Is this a voice vote or it's not necessarily a financial vote?
Well, I think this is the chair's prerogative possibly, but Stephanie might have a preference and you could, your small group, a roll call could work.
No.
No.
Do you want us to do a roll call, Stephanie?
Oh, that's up to you.
Let's do a quick roll call. It'll take half a minute. Go ahead.
Right. Neil Sharma.
Aye.
Kim Fisher.
Yes.
Diane Husby-Gordon.
Yes.
Susan Fowler.
Yes. Okay, approved. Moving on then to AIR activities for 2026. As we all know, the Alliance for Inclusion and Respect has been active in conjunction with the Ebert Film Expo, which ended this past year because of support no longer being available. At the same time, or shortly thereafter, Shay Ebert said that she would like to have a final show, so to speak. And so the decision basically, which addresses the unexpected, is that we could have a final event at the Virginia Theater on April 17th and 18th. If you don't mind, I'll just read the motion. Motion to approve up to $6,322.50 to share the cost of anti-stigma film sponsorship in the Roger Ebert's Film Festival 2026, and to authorize the executive director and staff to issue payment. This would allow us to continue for one final time to sponsor that, what has typically been a valuable film. And it may also, I suppose, allow the Alliance to do things, but it's up to the Alliance. So this is just our support for the film. And this is a financial request. So I made the motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. Neil seconded. Discussion. And then we'll have a roll call. Okay, let's do the roll call. Oh, did you have a discussion comment?
I mean, this was another surprise, and the mental health board did agree to do this. So if the DD board wants to contribute, this would be an up to, because I don't know how much they would actually expect from us this year, but we've traditionally paid $15,000, and then we have the art show, and it's a little easier to pull this off because we don't have to do all the coordination. But I don't, like, I got some emails yesterday that Chaz Ebert and the other coordinator are pretty confident they can do this, but I don't know what's going to happen. So this is kind of, again, maybe, and if we can do it and you are into it, then that would be the most it would cost the DD board. And I don't know. I think the art show part is really exciting. It's also happy birthday, Susan.
Oh,
right? It'll be your birthday weekend.
Yes, it will.
We can make the whole festival.
Anyways, it's incidental.
Yeah. So, I was like, whoa, I finished the budget. We did budget revisions and then heard about maybe another Eberfest. So, it's fun.
Other comments or discussion? Any concerns about Lynn needing to redo the budget and potentially expending an extra $6,800. Okay, roll call, please.
Diane Husby-Gordon?
Yes.
Susan Fowler?
Yes.
Neil Sharma?
Yes.
Kim Fisher?
Yes.
Wow, we've gotten through a lot of the agenda, and we can now move to old business. Resolution number one update is on pages 43 to 44. This is carried over from the pledge that members of the board worked with staff to develop to recognize the rights and the dignity of individuals with autism and IDD within our community. We felt there was an urgent need to be very specific following comments by the Secretary of Human Health and Services, who decried the lifetime trauma and life and death sentence, basically, for families who have children with autism, which enraged many of us who are families with children with autism. So, the adoption of the resolution is included with draft actions for a multi-governmental pledge. This requires board action because, if you note on page 44, next steps are recommended to urge other entities within Champaign County to also provide support for this. And the pledge of action to demonstrate this commitment will need to be developed or not?
Well, this is, so you already approved the resolution in two different versions in November. So this sort of summarizes
great
what that was and then what we did next. And now we're at, again, a place where I'm not really sure what we're doing next, but I think whatever we do next, we need to bring in some experts, some people who advocate. And so this pledge of actions is developed based on what I'm hearing from others. Some of it is stuff that units of government have to do anyway. But to have this come from a person who actually has a developmental disability or autism at a governmental meeting could be really powerful. So I'm asking really for if y'all approve or want to revise this document, or even put it, if you want to put it off, the next step after that would be ask for some input from people who might actually go to a meeting of, say, the county board and give public input and ask for this pledge of actions. So,
well, that was my question. Who leads the effort? And you're providing, so staff would work with a board member or the community represented by the DD board to find a spokesperson, and staff would take on that role, or a board member would help staff with that role. Okay. Discussion. Oh, maybe motion first. Sorry. Do we have a motion to approve the board agreeing that staff and a representative from the board should work together to identify a speaker? Is there a...
Yeah, I had given Ann a potential motion.
Okay.
It was really simply just motion to accept the 2026 pledge to residents with disabilities as presented or as revised.
Oh, that's even easier.
Yeah, because then the rest of it is going to, it really does depend on who's available to work on things like this and who's interested. And I am not working directly with any advocates, so I can't speak to whether they'd even want to do it. Yeah.
Okay. So let me paraphrase. The motion is to approve the statement of the resolution as presented on page 43. And to support the next steps that are represented on page 44, to support the pledge of actions presentation to other units of local government. Is that close enough?
That's great.
I wasn't even thinking of anything that complicated.
I can say the motion. This
okay,
is Kim.
Go ahead, Kim. Thank you.
A motion to approve the 2026 pledge to residents with disabilities as drafted or as edited.
Period. Okay. Fine. A second?
Second.
Okay. Moved by Kim, seconded by Neil. Further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Sorry.
I see a hand. Yeah. Go, Kim.
This Kim, yeah. So one question I had is, do we have any structure in our bylaws for ad hoc committees? Because this feels like a nice opportunity. I mean, staff has a lot of things to do, and I'm wondering if this is something that like a ad hoc committee led by maybe a board member would be a good idea. Or not.
Well, we have to be a little careful with committee formation because then you're some committees have to conform to Open Meetings Act, and then you need staff support to announce and post agendas and create packets and set up the microphones. And so it's, you can certainly take on tasks as an ad hoc committee, but there, I don't know if you have more than
one board member.
Yeah, we've had a problem with this before when we had two board members from each board working on something. That's a public meeting then. That's a public entity. So it's a great question. I'm not really sure if it's just one board member working with our staff and some agency staff. I think you can just do that.
Yeah, I think that the spirit of the motion should be what is voted on. Or the wording of the motion, and then the spirit will recognize is that Kim or someone else would really like to work with staff on this to reduce the staff demands.
How did you know, Susan? Yes.
I just guessed. Okay. Call the motion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Moving on. Thank you so much for all the input, Lynn and Kim. Agency special request update. Okay, so this has been an issue that we've been addressing off and on since last year. It has been a concern. It's represented on page 45. I'm going to turn it over to Lynn to discuss. I have a lot of comments written on my forum, so I'd kind of like you to lead the brief description of what's gone on, and then we can open it for discussion. We don't have a motion right now, so this is an opportunity to discuss before we make any kind of decisions. Lynn, do you mind doing that?
No, this memo, we were preparing this memo because we knew that the agency wasn't going to be able to get the financial review done. They sent us the letter of disengagement, which is attached, which is the CPA firm who had been working on it, saying they can't do it. And essentially, they don't have the materials available for them to complete are not sufficient. So, and that's kind of what we understood to be the case all along. So this memo just kind of was in preparation of them asking you for something, and then they decided to wait until February to ask you for something. So at your February meeting, there will be a request from the agency for more time to complete the financial review. So because this memo was already prepared, I thought this might be a good time to just kind of discuss how you feel about that. It does have hyperlinks to memos and materials that were presented by our team at previous meetings. There's a lot more detail, like what we think about the things they submitted in order to satisfy the contract. We can summarize that too, but I think there might even be a reference. Yeah, there's a reference in the update to what we had suggested at the last time, that it does look like a lot of activities continued, which were consistent with one of the contracts for the full year, although they only received 6 months of payments for it. So like that, and we also knew that because it relied heavily on social media, which we could all see. So we understand, and also it's a small town. So we know that people are engaging in these activities. So that piece, you know, we could say with some confidence, the money was spent there, but the agency's own reports on the other contract indicated they had not done any activities associated with the second contract. However, their financials charged money to that contract. So we were in a strange
for the
second contract. They charged
to the second contract but was used for the first.
Maybe. Their financial reports indicate that money was split across the two contracts to support both contracts' activities. However, no activities occurred with the second contract. So what you make of that then is, do they want to say that they spent all the money on the first contract and just did the financial reports wrong? This is after we gave a lot of extra time to do the financial reports. So I think at that point we were saying, let's wait till we have the financial review that will answer some of these questions. And we even made a comment that an audit would be better, but that their representative said an audit is more than they can afford to do. So I think they were a little surprised at this letter of disengagement. I don't know what the plan is now other than to come and talk to you about it in February and to ask for more time. So you can, if you want to see those more detailed memos with our reports on the reports, they're available through the hyperlinks. But I think, I don't know, there's other staff members at the table who may have something to say about that. We have spent a lot of time talking about it too. Anyway.
Personally, as the very interim chair of this meeting, I'd like to hear from staff. I guess I would like to see their request, but we have already spent probably over an hour in the last 6 months talking about this, and it is a point of frustration for me personally. But having some more background from staff would be helpful. I don't even think I need to go back into the links because I remember much of what was discussed. Kim or Chris, do you have comments to add? Background.
I don't have any further updates aside from what we've discussed previously.
Okay.
So, if you guys have any specific questions, I can do my best to answer those. But I haven't had any contact with the agency. I don't know what month it was. They were, you all directed them to just reach out and work with Lynn. So I've had discussion with Lynn.
Back in the summer.
Yeah, it was a very long time ago. But I have not had any direct contact. Lynn has kept me informed and shared emails with me, but I don't have any updates.
Okay. Chris?
So I've got a few thoughts. First off, Martin Hood is one of the premier accounting firms in the community. And if they are saying that they are unable to complete this work, I find it unlikely that anybody else in the community would be able to do it instead. I would add to that without any sort of financial review or audit, with all the questions that we have about the financials that they submitted on our online website, it's very difficult to prove any expenses were spent appropriately and according to the contract that they had signed. So without that, we have no way to verify. I would also say that right now, all the CPA firms in the community are just now diving into personal tax return season. And it is very unlikely that they'll get anybody to even pick up the phone until after the tax deadline.
Right.
So just bear in mind that, you know, they probably won't even get anybody to engage with them, if they're able to at all, until April.
Okay.
From that point, actually doing the work and completing the report. I mean, that this the deadline for this could just
go on forever.
Yeah.
Okay. So one question that I have before I open it is: Steve Beckett still representing and advocating for them, and is he planning to come to the meeting in February? And finally, is someone from the actual organization planning to come to the meeting in February?
I think that's, if you want them to be here, I will let Mr. Beckett know that that would be really good. And you all had a discussion about after this matter is settled, you'd like to meet with everyone for the organization. We're not settled yet, so I think this would be a separate direction from you all to me to tell Mr. Beckett.
Discussion by the group. We don't have a motion, so we're just going to talk for a limited time, no more than 5 minutes, to keep this meeting, you know, on schedule. Comments?
Yeah, I mean, I think the CPA firm backing out is pretty much saying we'll never get that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to have some accountability and transparency. You know, and the fact is, it's been how many months that we've talked about this, and nobody has come to even try to give some sort of narrative, you know, some sort of explanation, some sort of anything. It's just been like, let's get this, push the deadline. And so, yeah, it's sort of like, I feel like we're spinning our wheels a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm glad that they're going to be coming next meeting.
Steve Beckett's going to be coming.
Yeah.
So the question is, do we want someone from the agency also to come?
I think so. I mean, I think at least before, I mean, give me a good reason. Like, think about what we did with PACE, right? That was a very reasonable request. It's not a track record. This seems like this is that their finances were in mess and they weren't doing a good job keeping accountable to their money. And then that becomes a problem when you hand people money, you know, like what happened to it? You know, was it just simply, oh, they just used it for this one project, even though they should have also used it for the other? Okay, maybe that's more forgivable, but then what if it, not all that money, then that brings in other, even legal questions. I'm not making any accusations.
No accusations, just the issue is, we know Steve Beckett is planning to come. Do we want to make any other requests? You're suggesting that a representative from the agency, preferably the president.
Yeah, somebody who can speak and be accountable.
Yeah. Kim, do you have thoughts? Dan, do you have thoughts? Kim?
So this is Kim. So is it for sure that Steve Beckett is coming next week or next month? And what would be the purpose of his coming to the meeting?
He's coming to represent them because they are going to request, they've already given us the request for you, but they didn't want us to present it in February because he couldn't, I mean, they didn't want us to present it today because he couldn't come today. So he asked for February so that he could come to answer any questions that you might have. But I think it's fine if I reach out to him and say, I'm so glad you're going to come, but we could also use some other folks. So anyway, that's not what you asked, but yes, he's coming.
Okay. And the request would be more time, just to clarify. Or I guess we don't know because don't know. We
I have the request. The request just asks for more time. That's all.
As long as they know that there will be many questions and hopefully they can provide answers and accountability and just an explanation.
Yeah, so this is Kim. I mean, given what Chris has said about the accounting firm expertise, and also the timing of needing more time. I can, you know, I've said this from the beginning, I continue to have grave concerns about extending this for much longer. Mm-hmm. It is our number one duty to be good stewards of public money. And from what I've watched of the county board meetings over the last several months, there are big cuts coming to, you know, supposedly down the line. There's issues with the county budget. So each department, from what I understand of these public meetings, will have to make decisions about future budgets. And I just would hate anybody to see in the public, you know, that we haven't, whether that there's complications with some of the contracts that we with this particular agency, and our responsibility to make sure that the money is spent in the way that it's supposed to be spent. So more time to prove that it was spent in the way it was supposed to. It's already been several, like, years, right? Yes. Or over
it's
a year?
It's been a year.
Yeah.
Well, I would like, so, with the board's consent, so I'd like to make a motion that we specifically request that a representative from the agency come with Steve Beckett to the February meeting to explain why it's impossible to do an audit and discrepancies. And I also would like to, that's all I want to say. I'd like to limit the time they have too, but let's just go with that motion. That they be given half an hour and no more. How about that? To explain problems with the contract. Is that okay? Do I have a reinterpretation of the motion, or?
I mean, a half an hour is a really long time. We have really.
All right. Do you want to go ahead and revise it to 15 minutes?
Yeah. And I think, you know, maybe not just the audit, but the lesser stringent reporting is the financial review, like, right? I think, is that my understanding? Like, financial review is less costly, so maybe have them explain why they can't get the financial review.
What if you had less detail about what you're going to ask them?
Yes,
let's that you can ask them whatever makes sense.
Okay. That's a great.
Okay, yeah, so let's go back to the motion. I move that we request that Steve Beckett come in February with a representative from the agency to, and that we provide them with 15 minutes to present information related to their request and the failed audit.
Yeah.
Period.
So out of curiosity, why 15 minutes, not the 30 minutes? Or
well, I think it'd be 30 as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. I just don't want it to be a two-hour board meeting.
So there are some – the motion is still tricky because there's no audit. So to refer to a failed audit is – there is no audit. It's a financial review.
Okay.
So I would say, like, maybe a simpler motion that requests that Steve Beckett and a representative of the agency come and answer your questions for no longer than 15 minutes or whatever. Is
30
that
minutes?
Yeah.
I like your suggestion of simplifying it. I move that the board requests that Steve Beckett be accompanied by a member of the agency when he appears before the board to make the request in February, period.
Yeah, and should have explanations and also what do they think is their perspective of how they spent it, if they even have.
Do you want to make an amendment to add that?
This is Kim. I would just leave it as open, and then we could ask those questions. I mean, we've asked those things and they've already answered them.
Yeah, hopefully they know.
Yeah. So I can second Susan's motion.
Okay, Kim seconded. Further discussion. We know it's going to be awkward. All those in favor? Sorry, please.
It's okay. Coming into this new, I've followed along a little bit over the last year, but don't have all the background just from what was publicly
sure.
shown. But when they do come in February, they're going to be asking for more time. What is the end game here? I mean, what is the end? What is it that we're trying to get to as a final result? Or don't we don't know. So, I'm sorry.
No. I mean, I think the money is spent.
The money's gone.
So I think it's, and I'm not sure that everybody in this story understands what we're looking for, but there is a requirement for financial accountability. It could be, if a financial review is impossible, maybe there's an alternative. But I appreciate what Chris Wilson said. Like, this is a bad sign if one of the most esteemed firms can't do it. Who can? And are we in some position to come up with a different type of financial reporting requirement beyond what was already submitted? So I'm not even sure anymore what we're asking for. I think that it's possible that they really think they can prove that they spent the money well, and they might have done that, but without financial records, it's, you know, that the proof is the problem. So I don't even know what kind of questions you might feel inclined to ask them if they're here.
I'll have some.
Well, I hope that they're prepared. I mean, Mr. Beckett, I mean, he's a lawyer, so yeah. he needs to, it's like, present his case, present why, what happened. I think that's important. We just need accountability. And then if there's something, then maybe we can figure something else out. But
I don't think our board is mean-spirited. We're simply frustrated because we haven't been given information.
Yeah.
We would like more information. We have other agencies with whom we've worked who have been very diligent at providing requested and yet more requested information. So to put it up as an example of, oh, some can get away with it and some can't, to be very crass in the comparison, I think is a concern for the board and for how the county board may view us and our ability to be fiduciary stewards for the money that the county provides. So we need some resolution and further discussion. We cannot just keep putting up extended timelines. And it's gone beyond what's reasonable.
Yeah. Absolutely.
From my opinion. Okay, can we call the question, or is there another comment? Chris.
Well, I just wanted to tack on to what Lynn was just saying about the proof. You know, there is actually a clause in our contract with them that says that their books have to be kept in an audit-ready state at all times. And what that means is if an auditor were to walk in their door, they could open the books and perform an audit. And to me, it seems like they were out of compliance from day one because they were not maintaining their books.
And that's a caution to us as a board when we fund proposals. Are they capable of maintaining books that can survive an audit? We're going to have less money in the future, very possibly. So who do we fund and what do we fund?
So we fixed that last year.
We did.
Because of this, fixed that last year. We can't, an application is not complete unless we have either an audit of the most recent year, financial review, if that's appropriate, or audited balance sheets, which also, that's another product that you don't do on your own. You need to take your stuff to a CPA firm who's qualified to vouch for it. So this is, now, like, you won't even be asked to consider applications that don't have that foundation. This is, I mean, and part of it is, like, this community is so unique. We have 500 nonprofits. We have brand new, exciting, brilliant projects, but a lot of those do not come with a solid business office or even an understanding of what accrual accounting is and why that's important to public funders. So this is an issue that has started a long, long time ago. This particular episode has kind of brought it to a head. And so now you're protected in the future. Mm-hmm. You have, there's no guarantee about anything, but you have a better standard now. Yeah.
Okay. So further discussion, or can we call the motion? I'd like to call the motion, hearing no further discussion. All those in favor of the motion that was presented and seconded?
Aye.
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 Aye. Okay. Great. All right. That was a little more than 5 minutes, but not too bad. That's okay.
Susan, this is Kim real quick. I'm sorry. I have to go to the, I have to run. I have to catch a flight. So
all right.
I'm sorry.
We understand. Does that require the board to come to? We're good. We still have quorum. Okay. Thank you so much, Kim, for participating under dire circumstances, catching a flight in this weather.
I know. Wish me luck. All right. Thank
you. Yeah. Good luck.
Bye.
Okay. Emerging threats, are presented. You know, I think that the threats are continuing to emerge. I'd like to hold that discussion, if that's all right, because I think that we have not only the need for should we have input from people with IDD, I also have a very brief report for changes that are occurring in Engage Illinois, and I would really like to provide a short moment at least for the evaluation capacity building project to give an update, I think that that's about all we can do before people are going to have to start leaving this meeting based on other competing priorities. So do we have input from people with developmental disabilities or intellectual disabilities for this meeting? Okay, nothing there. Then Engage Illinois. So Engage Illinois started off with like a rocket in January, and we've already had three board meetings or committee meetings. I've agreed to serve as the representative for downstate. Apparently, I am the only representative, and Vicki was outside of Chicago. I agreed to work with the outreach committee, which is focused on expanding participation in downstate. Chicago does have an attitude that they are most of the population, but they are really willing to encourage us to bring more people from across the state into the discussion. My understanding from several long meetings that I've had is that Engage Illinois really wants to begin to clarify what's not working with the home-based waiver system and what's not working in SILAs, particularly in the Chicago area and possibly downstate, where there's very little choice for person-supported care. So the home-based waiver system provides a lot of choice, but no supporting infrastructure or guidance. The SILA provides a great deal of support, but little personal choice and direction. So we've got this mismatch of systems. And the goal of Engage Illinois is to come up with a very specific new slideshow PowerPoint presentation to use with multiple agencies across the state, and we're talking local. So all of the 708 boards, there are very few DD boards, but there are other groups that are parent groups, et cetera, and that are related, that are concerned downstate with how services are available and not available. And if any of you have tried to get into a group home recently downstate, it's very, very difficult. It's not impossible, but it's very, very difficult. So I'm really encouraged by the spirit of the board and what they're planning to do. I will provide a quick update every month, but I think they've really honed in on action so that it's not just a small parent group in Chicago saying, let's change the system. It's let's create a coalition across the state to change the system. So that's my update. And, you know, I kind of thought we were dragging, but I think the coalition, the Engage Illinois had to really come to grips with a lot of issues, and they're doing that. So that's all I have to say about Engage Illinois, but I'm optimistic that it could be a force. Okay, moving on to evaluation capacity building. Do we have a report? Yes, we do. Thank you for being here.
Happy hump day, everybody. So I'm Jacinda Darius. I direct the Family Resiliency Center. I'm leading the Evaluation Capacity Project with a team of excellent people, Nate and Rachel. I'm going to be real short. So usually I come in and show microlearning, and we've done that so many months in a row. We're in the process of developing a new microlearning, which is utilizing Google and Microsoft Forms so that different agencies can create their own surveys for lower cost, so that's highly scalable and sustainable. So developing the microlearning that also our working group has helped in providing feedback on, and having a one-pager so that people who have different learning styles with the audio and visual versus the text versions, that both can be served. And then having an in-person training to have whomever from the agencies want to come in their programs actually do hands-on creating of their own survey or form using those systems, because you can only learn so much from videos and short videos. So we are working on planning that and working with our working group, who has given us great advice and suggestions on how to make this more user-friendly and in very lay terms. We've been working with technical assistance with three of the programs, and that's going well, helping them develop logic models, surveys, thinking about their outcomes. And so those are the things that we've been really focusing on. So lots of work going on, but no more microlearning this month. It's okay. If I did it every month, I'd get tired of it, right? No. We do try to keep them a little entertaining so people will watch.
I love the practical approach that you're taking to support the agencies. It's just really hands-on. You may only be able to work with three agencies at a time, but you're building an infrastructure of support learning for the other agencies. And I can't say enough about how impressed I am. Other comments from the group?
Can I add one more thing? We launched our office hours, and we're launching that and trying to advertise it as much as possible. So anyone from programs or agencies who have a quick question or something small or something that they just want to work on is free to contact us, even if they're not one of the one-on-one intensive technical assistants. So I forgot to mention that as well.
And what are your office hours?
So they can go in and choose the office hours that work for them. It's a scheduling. So we sent out the link. So it's not just Fridays at 4 to 5, which, you know, everyone wants to come to your office hours at that point. But they're on-demand office hours that they can choose anytime that they want to chat with us about it.
Wow. Okay. Comments? Thank you so much for all that you're doing, and I see a lot of smiles from the agency people behind you.
Great. Well, thank you for your support. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. Okay, moving on to Disability Resource Expo update. Do we need to do that, given that we've had new business and passed a motion? Okay.
We're going to have a first meeting of that advisory committee that you just directed us to start today. Kim put that together, and the folks who had lots and lots of ideas when we were crashing and burning in December, are hopefully they're going to be there. Okay.
Great. Okay, thank you. And then finally, comparison of 2025 agency revenues, page 53 to 84. I think that this is going to require some study to have maybe an in-depth conversation. I was just so thrilled to see these pie charts. I've been wondering for years, what does it look like for an agency with robust support or potentially robust support? You know, what are the different sources of funding? How varied can it be? And to what extent does an agency depend only on CCDDB or the Mental Health Board? And we know right now that it's no longer completely safe to depend on one source of funding, right? I used to have a lot of federal grants at the university. They became a little bit more tricky. I went to state grants. They became very tricky during the budget shut down, added some private funds, and now the whole field seems a little bit tricky. So I think that having this in our hands will make it so much easier to approach the review of proposals in the spring, because it has, at least for 2025, some of the additional data. And I guess one comment I'd like to make is to encourage the agencies to really study, and you probably already know what your agency looks like, but I see some highly vulnerable agencies, and I'm really concerned. And I know it's not easy to diversify in a short period of time. But this is something I think that we really need to discuss. I also would like to give Lynn a few minutes to talk about, you know, particularly the aggregate data and some of the wonderful news that that does represent for our community. And then maybe open it for a discussion of what you'd like to do with this data in the next meeting. And again, we can go until 11, but I'm also aware that it's not the best travel day, because and people have been pressed to fit more appointments into the latter part of the week because it was so bad in the beginning of the week. Lynn, do you want to talk a little bit? Refer us to certain pages.
You know, traditionally when we're reviewing those applications for funding, the agencies are giving us a lot of information. So even in the beginning, like this project came because they give us so much information throughout the year, and then those year-end reports are so interesting to me, and I often don't have enough time to read them very thoroughly or do something about it for you. So I think this year, Kim put together this is the second year we've done it, you know, a summary of the outcome results, which is something that means reading that very, very long aggregate document. Super interesting comments in there. So by giving you a summary, we don't mean to say don't look at what the agency wrote in the first place. Similarly here, the aggregate information was kind of about, in case any members of the public are not sure what their tax dollars do, I wanted to show that their tax dollars are very, very important to the work that they might love and rely on and take for granted. This memo is silent on what the services are, how many people are served, even what the local programs look like, let alone do people have good outcomes. That's a different memo. This is just about money, and you can see the first three lines are state, federal, and then state pass-through, state and federal partnerships, and that is the monster share of the money. And in 2025, we came to feel differently about that money. So in all of the applications for funding, we'll see these data again, and that is something that I always put into those program summaries for you. What are the shares of the total agency revenue? Just so you kind of know, it means something different throughout the years, apparently. 10 years ago, if it was all state funding, we'd be very worried about an agency, but that's not quite what's going on now. But the good news that I found was private funding. The older an agency is, and some of them are very old in this community, the more you see things like private foundation funding or just a nice solid fundraising line. So it takes a while to get there, but that can be more stabilizing than some of these public tax-funded programs that go from one year to the next and create a whole other level of stress and chaos for everyone. You know, local government is a smaller part of it, and we're part of local government. But I was very, very glad to see among the private funding sources, the top three reflect a potentially very generous population here, people giving their own money individually to projects they believe in. I thought, that's so nice. I'm happy to live in Champaign County. So anyway, beyond that,
stop you just for a moment on page 55. If you add fundraising to contributions for the aggregate, and this is just the aggregate, 46% of the funding to agencies in the aggregate, not individual agencies, is based on contributions and fundraising. Now, that's always going to vary based on the economy, I'm sure, but 46, that's almost half of the resources come directly from people in the community who are willing to support the efforts of the Mental Health Board and the DD Board. That is astonishing. Really?
It just made me love my neighbors a little bit. So I thought that was super good news. Then, you know, the agency by agency pictures are very important for understanding conditions. And, you know, they do what they can. We might have suggestions, right, but we're not in their shoes.
Right.
So anyway.
And some are older, some are newer. Thoughts about how to proceed with discussing and looking at this data in February from the group? Do you think it's important to do, necessary to do? Are you happy with what you have?
Yeah.
Okay. So we could have it on the agenda again in February if there's time for a deeper dive. I got back from a terrible 2 days of trying to get home with flights, and I saw this, and it was like, as Lynn said, Christmas when I opened it, because I'm sorry, guys, but for those of us who received the mailed copy, it's in color, so it's really easy to see the distinction. And I thought, this is something I've been wanting to see for years, and it's such a positive picture. And then we see a few agencies that we can say, oh my gosh, I'm a little worried. And it's not that they're bad agencies, they're really great agencies, but can they diversify? And how much will we need to diversify? And we don't know. That's part of the emerging threats, right?
Yeah, and it's good for us to get input. I think we as staff get input individually from agencies about things like the, you know, kind of the long-term effect of funders like the state have traditionally had a very low indirect cost rate limit, and that can be a real problem if you're trying to compete for technicians or financial experts. So that has created some of the vulnerabilities that you're dealing with on a functional level. So anyway.
Okay. I just think it helps to have a deeper knowledge of what's going on, and we're really getting to that. Thanks to Lynn and her staff and the agency reports, which can be summarized more coherently and simply in ways like this. And boy, I can't thank the staff enough, because this is extra work that they did on top of their other work. So, okay, moving on then to successes and other agency information. This is always a star of our meetings. So it's all right if we don't have them this meeting, but if we do, we would love to hear them. Any agency reports?
Hi, I'll be pretty quick. This is Becca from Community Choices. excuse me. I just want to tell you guys, we had our first futures planning family workshop last January 7th. We have our next one coming up here on February 4th. We talked about Social Security. We had a really great turnout. And so we provided information, and then we also provided a template for a binder that families can use to sort of gather information that they maybe already have or know some things that they might need to start putting together sort of for their own sort of future planning. This coming week, we're going to be talking about Medicare and Medicaid sort of health services. So this is the first year we've done this, and we're really excited about how well it's going. I also just wanted to share that we're going to be presenting at the ART conference in late April on our transportation program, which you guys have been really instrumental in helping fund and make possible. And so our hope is to share kind of how the program works, how we got it started, and sort of give people a little bit of a blueprint for what they could potentially use. So thank you.
Fabulous. Anyone else? Yes?
Anja, what do we want me a wink from pains? Continue to walk to with the family. We your part. Think in we have a tram that we are walking on, and hope we connection with you. In
you want to share a plan with us?
Mars. No. We are walking up a survey.
Working on a survey?
That we are coming up with a building. With you up high, and you've been a great collaboration.
Did you catch that?
And you have been on that walking group
for the survey, which you will be sharing with us in a coming meeting.
I've been the openly did yeah.
Okay, that's great. Thank you, Paula. So you're working with a group to develop a survey.
With the building kind with the unified
group. Unified group.
Hello, this is Eric.
Thank you, Eric.
Paula was just sharing that we've been collaborating with the Family Resource Center on developing a program survey and stuff, which hopefully we'd like to share in the spring.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Yeah.
I think we got most of it, Paula. Thank you so much. This is great.
Yes.
Thank you, Eric. Okay, anything else? All right, do we have another agency that wishes to share?
Hi, I'd just like to share two things, if that's okay. After hearing that people in our Community First program through our robust survey process, thanks Jacinda and company, We learned that people are interested in agriculture, so we created the weekly Iron and Acre group. So this group has spent the past few months traversing Champaign County when it's not snowing or raining ice around, and we've been invited to some farm implement places, have had some tours from places like Awesome Machines, Jennings Implement, and they've even used some computer programs to learn about diesel engines and design their own digital tractors, so that's been pretty fun. And I also would like to share that the Crow will also be a venue for the Boneyard Arts Festival the weekend of April 10th. So we hope to see you there. Our opening reception will be on Friday, the 10th, April 10th from 6 to 8 p.m., and light refreshments will be served. This year's theme is Growing Together to showcase our community's ability to grow together in art while fostering inclusivity and connection. So,
thank you so much. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Annie from the Arc of Illinois, and I apologize. I realize maybe I should have said this in public comment since technically I'm not a funded agency, but I am from an agency.
It's okay.
Okay. Just want to share kind of an exciting thing that the Arc of Illinois is doing here locally. We are hosting listening sessions, and it reminds me a lot kind of similarly to Engage Illinois, looking to gather a lot of feedback from people on what's working in the system, what's not working, where we should be funding our money, where we should be putting services. And like you said, Susan, there's a whole lot of Chicago input. And so I'd love to have a super strong, I'd really like to be able to brag to my colleagues about all the folks I got to come out in Champaign-Urbana. So that one is Thursday, February 5th, next Thursday evening from 5:30 to 7:30 at the Champaign Public Library. You do need to RSVP so I can buy you food, but there will be food and we'll just be very low-key discussing kind of areas where folks can provide their input. Families, advocates, self-advocates, individuals, anybody from provider agencies that want to work in an evening time, I would really love a super strong turnout. So,
and Annie, I know that I got an email from the ARC that I could press a link to sign up. Mm-hmm. If someone doesn't typically get emails from the ARC, how can they go about RSVPing?
It should be all over the ARC's Facebook page.
Okay, go to Facebook.
And we're kind of doing it in partnership with the CCDDB. I know Kim and Lynn plan to attend, and maybe you guys can send an email out on your listservs. Also, anyone's willing to contact me, happy to send it to them. And if you don't RSVP, like, it's okay. I'll plan for more food. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay, any other agency input? Hearing none, Lynn, do we have input from the county board or the? Okay, great. County board, thank you.
Yes. Hi, I just have a quick thing to add. I wanted to say I support your next steps on item 8I. I would welcome public input at a county board meeting on resolution number one, which was discussed earlier. And also, I appreciate your work to find accountability for county funds, because we definitely need that at our level. I remember the prior discussions on this, and your stewardship is definitely appreciated. We're starting our FY27 budget process soon, so I just want to let you know that that's underway. And again, appreciate anything you can do to make sure that we can account for any funds that go to CCDDB. Thank you.
Thank you so much for representing us and keeping us informed. Really appreciate it. Okay. Champaign County Mental Health Board input. Lynn?
They met last week and they approved the plan to have an expo pause year or maybe an in-person thing, just to the plan to go figure it out, which I'm so sorry. I just wanted board guidance and I got it. So that was really important to me. They also approved doing one last Ebert Fest. And I think they had to make a decision about two agencies whose audits were or financial reviews were not completed and what to do. And the agencies provided them pages and pages and pages of really good information about what happened and why, like, it was two very exceptional, easy to understand circumstances. I don't think they're on these meetings right now, but I really appreciated the care that those two agencies put into it. It was what we feel comfortable presenting to the board, so they were comfortable making exceptions. They did have a discussion about the audit requirements, because this is, kind of always, it's always an issue. We get to a little bit of a timing traffic jam now with 20, trying to read 20 audits if they're submitted at the last minute or late. It does become difficult to complete that work before we're looking at applications for funding, which is really your most important activity. And we want to be able to provide you thorough and accurate information for that phase. So, some acknowledgement of that. The other thing they did was, I can't even remember. They have a study session tonight. They're starting to have mid-year program presentations. So the study session tonight is one of the programs Don Moyer runs, which is a youth programs sponsored by the Champaign County Community Coalition. So there's that mid-year report. It's not a mid-year report. It's a full-year report. And then a mid-year report on a family service program, which we've funded for years and years and years, but was expanded. It's their counseling program, and they have expanded it to include some creative options for seniors. And so I think this will be a pretty upbeat study session, because those are like really positive, you know, promotion, you know, good health promotion programs. So, yay. Then if it, later in the year, we'll have conversations about crisis services, which is just hard. It's just hard, really important. But anyway, but that's it.
All right. Moving on to board announcements and input. Do you have any announcements, Lynn or Kim or Chris? Okay. Moving on then to board input. Any input from the remaining board members today?
Oh, shut.
If you have any input.
Oh.
No? Okay. Well, guess what? We're now to the point of adjournment. And I think this was a great meeting, and we, you know, hopefully none of us have been pulled out of the parking lot for being here more than an hour.
Is it okay for us to defer the special election to February?
Oh, that's right, the special election. What would you like to do, since we have three board members here and we don't know what Ann Robbins' preferences are?
I talked to Ann several times in the week preceding this meeting, so I'm a little bit concerned about what might have happened. So just out of respect for, I know that she was going to be here and was planning to do this till we understand what's going on.
Right.
If that's okay, is it okay?
Is it okay to pause until, table it until February?
Of course.
Okay.
Okay, we'd like to, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Informal vote to table.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully she's all right.
I hope she's okay. Yeah. It's accident weather.
Life is complicated.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. We really didn't let you say who you are and why you're on the board. Gosh, I'm sometimes so processed.
No, there's so much.
Next time, we'll table that.
Yeah.